We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
This podcast is powered by SportString, your digital water cooler.
What's up, everybody? So we're back with another episode of Attention to Detail, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Coleman Ayres. Recently, once again, another little leave of absence. I was over in Australia for about 3 weeks. I'll have an episode coming on that, just kind of explaining the mission as to why we went over there, how it went down, the basketball culture over there, how I see it relative to the States and everywhere else that we've been. But that's kind of why, you know, got on a little hot streak and then had to stop a little bit because traveling a lot, 6-hour camps, time difference, all that stuff kind of came into play. Thought I was going to be able to get some podcast episodes done, but clearly not. But we're back. So this is going to be a quick episode, kind of a quick hitter one, giving you guys a tool for your training. I call it the play drill play model. And what it is essentially using your play, your games, and your training, so live play, as a reference. It's a really easy way to structure your workouts, whether you have a partner, whether you have a coach or not. I talked about this in a coach's clinic down there in Melbourne, and it was something that really, I think, resonated with a lot of coaches, but also players. This is how I structure a lot of my camps and clinics, and I think it's a pretty easy tool for you guys to understand and apply into your own training. So I'll give you guys the tool, some examples. You guys can take it, not take it, use it however you want to, make it even better than I make it, and we'll see how it goes. So first off, what is play drill play? And keep in mind that, again, I'll give you an alternative without a partner, without other people in the gym. Usually I'll use this in more of a group setting. And it's exactly what it sounds like. We play, we then drill or kind of add tools to the toolbox in the context of that game, that first play, and then we go back to play. So this is most easily seen through an example. Let's say we're trying to work on 2-foot finishing. So I always start with a focus, right? Let's say player comes in, we identify that they need to work on their 2-foot finishing, the coordination of it, the applying it in a live situation, the perception of knowing when to do it, all the things that go into 2-foot finishing. Cool. What I'll do is have them start off with a game or a live drill that is constrained to a lot of 2-foot finishing. So I'll say, hey, defender's on your hip, you're driving downhill, you have to finish off of 2 feet coming from this angle. Boom, let them play. Try not to coach them up much. All right, from there, I'm kind of seeing what they need to work on. The player is kind of understanding the situation, what they need to work on in the sense of 2-foot finishing. Again, that's our initial play. Then I'll say, you know, this can be after 2 minutes, this can be after 15 minutes. I'll say, all right, Let's go drill this out a little bit. Then we'll just add some tools to the toolbox, right? So now it's like, all right, you tried it out. Now let's add maybe an extension finish off 2 feet or work on it. Maybe let's do kind of some creative acrobatic finishing off 2 feet. Maybe let's work on some contact finishing with 2 feet, but kind of in a more structured, drilled, traditional on-air manner where we're just kind of adding tools to the toolbox. Then we go back to playing. All right, so I go back to either the same drill or a different one. I like to use a different one just to switch it up. And now we're trying it, the 2 foot finishing, the same skill with those added tools, again, with live defense. So it's almost retesting themselves. So think about it as testing yourself, feeling out how that skill is and how good you are at it, what you need to work on. So that's the first play. Then you're going to add tools, right? You're sharpening the sword. You're adding tools to that toolbox. That's the drill. Then you go back and retest yourself and you have the context to put all those things in place. So why is the structure so good? It seems pretty basic, and it is. I think the main thing for me is that it gives context, right? So a lot of times when an athlete comes in the gym and we have them working on a certain skill as a trainer, especially in an on-air situation, I don't think they get the context as to where that could come in during a game. They do, but it's not like they're feeling it. It's not like in a play drill play, they would have literally just felt it and understand to a T exactly how it can come into play. So when you allow players to feel out like, yo, these drills that I'm doing, this is where they come into play. I just did this. Now I can see myself or kind of visualize or imagine the situations that these tools will come into play. So it gives them context. Again, whether this is 2 foot finishing, they come in and I kind of throw them into the fire at first, and it's like, you know, try to finish off 2 feet. They're like, oh shit, how many ways can I finish off 2 feet? This is difficult. But then when we do take it on air with a more traditional style training, those drills, now they say, okay, this 2 foot extension finish, yeah, I can kind of see where that comes into play. I just had trouble extending from my defender in this drill, so now let me focus on this a little bit more. Let me visualize this defender as I'm working on it. So I think what it does is make our on-air training a lot more real. It makes it a lot more engaging because, again, the athlete has context. Then we go back to the play. Context, again, comes into play where now they're able to use all these tools and apply them rather than just us giving them to the athlete or the athlete trying to add them to their bag and then hoping they come into play. Like, no, we're now seeing direct translation. I'm encouraging them. You know, as a player, if you're running this yourself, I would encourage you to use those tools or those skills that you just worked on in that second play, right? So now you are not only working on tools, not only working on techniques or adding moves to the bag or whatever, but now you're going back and with the specific context in place, trying these things out. And I think that's how we see the biggest application to games. And that's what's worked for me and a lot of the athletes that I've worked with and a lot of athletes that I've just kind of consulted to use this because, you know, again, they're able to kind of see this come to life, apply it into a live situation, and are a lot more comfortable applying this into one-on-one, five-on-five, three-on-three, whatever it may be, when they step off of the training court and onto the playing court. Another thing it does is also gives context to the coach. So if you're a coach or trainer listening to this, it's a lot easier to see what to work on when you throw them into a live situation at first, right? And this is from a player standpoint too, where like maybe we come in with that 2 foot finishing drill. I have in mind, like, all right, this player doesn't seem like they're that good at this extension finish or this inside hand finish off 2 feet, right? Come in, I throw them into the drill and they're killing it with those. All right, now I'm not gonna work on those in the drill portion. I'm gonna work on something else because clearly it's just gonna be a waste of time if we do focus on those things. So again, this gives me context where I can actually see the athlete in action. Even if it's someone I've worked with a lot, I can see their tendencies, I can see what they're comfortable with, what they're shying away from, what they're going to, and this helps me structure my drills better. And the same thing for you as a player, right? This is, I mean, my job to do that, but a lot of players, especially if you're listening to this, are very self-analytical. So you can see, dang, what am I shying away from? What do I not feel comfortable going to in this playing situation, in this live drill? All right, maybe these are some things I need to work on. So you can much more easily structure your drills and target it to what you need when you literally are coming straight off of something that is a pretty good analysis. It's a live situation of what you're comfortable and not comfortable with, if that makes sense. Another thing is that you're a lot more engaged in the workout. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm a player, I would much rather come in and compete and try to score and get buckets on players. So, you know, when you come in and the first thing is drill, you're like, all right, why am I doing this? Again, you don't have the context and you're just not as engaged because you're going against air. You're not playing against defense. This is an easy way to, even if it's just 1 or 2 minutes, come in, right? You're competing a little bit. It gets those competitive juices flowing. Then when you go to drill, you're a little bit more engaged in the workout already. You're kind of flowing a little bit more. And that's usually going to set yourself up for success the rest of the workout. Next point, I think, is I've already touched on it, but you don't end up wasting time on things that you're already good at, where you're able to kind of analyze things in the first section, the first play section. And if you realize, all right, I'm already good at this, let me scrap this drill for today because I'm already pretty damn good at it. Like, maybe there's another thing that I need to work on. You become a lot more efficient in your training. You end up spending less time in the gym, which is huge. It's also just more fun. Kind of on the same boat as the more engaging one, but you're going to come back to work out, to train more often if you're having more fun with your workouts. In my opinion, it gives you more longevity. And again, when you're allowed to get buckets and then also just see these things come back into place, like you get these small wins where you're like, yo, I just worked on that in the drill portion. Now I'm applying it in the play portion. It's more fun. You want to come back for more. You want to come back and train. You want to keep going with that. And again, that is, to me, a lot more conducive to learning and developing a long-term training program than just drilling it out on air and never seeing any wins in your training, if that makes sense. And then lastly, it's easier to organize for me. And then this is, again, why I run a lot of my camps in bigger groups under a play drill play model, and even, like, you know, smaller groups. To me, it's easy for me to take a focus, whether it's 2 foot finishing, I'll give you guys some more examples, and come up with a play drill play than it is for me to just arbitrarily come up with drills for something. So I think whenever I have a focus to work with, this is much easier for me to organize, and probably for you as a player as well. Again, if you're a player listening to this, your job is not to be a trainer and come up with the craziest drills and stuff and structure workouts to a T. Your job is to do the best you can. And this gives you some structure, gives you some easy direction as to where to go. Even with some of the trainers that are on our team or that I kind of consult for, I'm like, yo, if you really want to be or kind of ease your job of structuring your training, use play drill play. It's a pretty damn easy model. You can adjust like the time and the reps of each one, depending on how much live competition you want, how much on-air competition you want, or on-air drills you want. But you kind of get the whole nine in terms of like traditional training, live training, all that stuff. Very easy to structure. So a couple examples real quick. Let's say I want to work on shooting off the catch. All right, so I go into a drill where maybe player is sprinting up from the corner, defense is chasing them, they got to catch the ball quickly, get into the shot before the defense can come and contest and block that shot. Easy. All right. Maybe I expose them to different footworks with it. So I'm saying, all right, now you have to hop into it. Now you have to 1-2 into it. Now you have to rotate into it. Kind of just seeing, and this is, again, my job to evaluate players in this drill. And again, they're starting to pick up these things as well. Like, the hop doesn't feel as comfortable. So I start to see these things. I'm like, all right, maybe they're having a tough time getting on balance with a hop. And they're kind of rotating towards the basket as they hop. This is tough for them. All right, then I'll take that into a drill section. I will rep that out with them. I'll get creative and kind of challenge your balance. Maybe coach them up, give them some techniques for it. Easy. All right, and then we'll go back into the play. And now they're trying to apply this with live defense. Maybe open up a little bit more for them. So say, hey, you can take one dribble. Just give them some more possibilities. Easy. So again, now they saw it. They get the feel for it. We go into the drills where they're working on it. They're kind of sharpening this tool. And then we go back into the play where they can apply this into a live situation. This could be floaters, right? We work on floaters. Maybe I see that they're not very good at carrying their momentum through their floater. So we work on this. We target this quality, go back and train floaters with defense. And now we say, all right, this defense is chasing you down. You got to run, kind of sprint through that floater to get it off. Same idea. This can even be physical qualities too. Like, all right, coach, I need to get better getting low as I'm playing, or as I'm ripping through, as I'm attacking closeout. Cool. All right, I'll play them in a live situation. So say maybe the ball has to start on the ground, right? Both hands are on the ball. You're starting in kind of a hips low situation, exploding out of there with a closeout. They feel this out. They see kind of why they're uncomfortable with it. They get the context for it. They get to try it out. Then we go drill it out. Maybe this could be literally in the weight room or some physical qualities that we're training. All right, we're getting them more comfortable in these low positions and exploding out of these. And then we go back to a play where they're able to apply these into real life in a real situation. And hopefully, again, this helps them get comfortable with this as we bring it back to that play. So again, I could literally go on and on. If you give me a skill to work on or a quality to work on, I could find a play drill play within seconds, just because it's a really easy way to organize it. The logistics can always change. For example, like sometimes I'll come in and literally just do 2 minutes of that first play, because I know already what we need to work on, or we don't have much time, so I just want to get straight to kind of sharpening tools. Boom, 2 minutes of play. Let them get comfortable with it, familiar with it, get the context, start to have some fun, get engaged in it. Then we go to the drill. Then maybe we play more at the end so that they can apply those things. Maybe they pick up the things really well in the drill portion, and after a minute of the second play portion, they're like killing it. Everything is just easy. I'm like, all right, we'll cut this, move on to the next one. So logistics can always change. If you don't have a partner also, I think it's still a possibility. Wouldn't necessarily be play, drill, play, but more so just like creativity or explore and then drill and then back to that. So for example, I'll do something where it's like, all right, we want to work on mid-range. All right, you got to shoot a mid-range from the short corner every time, but it's got to be a different shot every time with one dribble. So every single rep, you got to find a different solution with one dribble to get to that short corner and shoot shoot a similar shot. So now they're just trying a bunch of things, they're exploring, they're getting creative. Maybe you see a couple things in that drill where you're like, all right, this shot felt a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe those are the things that you target in the drill section, right? So you explore, you kind of found the targets, you go and target those in the drill section, then you come back to it and find a drill or a more creative drill to work on those things that can be considered play. Maybe you just visualize defense, whatever. So you can get creative with this as well. So it's not just when you have multiple people in the gym. You could also get creative with how you are structuring this by yourself. So again, kind of quick hitter episode. I wanted to give you guys a quick tool that you can work on in your training without taking too much of your time. I think this is huge for structuring your workouts. This can really change how you train. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this and you're able to apply it. Let me know what you think, and I would love to hear any feedback and even see some videos of you guys applying this. Till next time, I'm out. See you soon.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.